Hey everyone, this is Nolan Fleming from the Breaking Blue podcast. Today we're going to talk about the Kentucky-Louisville game, but we would be remiss not to mention the tragic events that happened in Louisville, Kentucky this past week. A very tragic day for the city and for the state as a general. It's easy to forget when we get wrapped up in this rivalry, but we are all Kentuckians at the end of the day, and so our prayers are with our fellow Kentuckians in Louisville, especially with the 14 people with their families. Who've all been impacted by this, and with the families of or residents in the area that had to be evacuated from the tragic accident in Louisville. Our prayers go out to everybody, and we're praying for the city of Louisville. What's up, everyone, and welcome back to the Breaking Blue podcast. Unless you're watching us live, then welcome back to the live version of the Breaking Blue podcast on X, also on Facebook. I'm Nolan Fleming at NolanUKY27. Once again, joined by Mr. Wildcat Wave himself, Wyatt Huff, at Wildcat underscore Wave. Your Packers, man, how are they looking right now? I don't even have the game on.
Game hasn't started yet, but like I told you before we came on, I'm not feeling too good about this because
I don't believe in Philly at all. I think they're terrible. That's just me. They run one play. Like, you know.
It's the most
annoying play in history of sports, by the way.
It is.
That's a good question. Is there a basketball version of the tush push?
Basketball version of the tush push. Oh.
I can't think of one.
I don't think so.
Unless you just want to be like.
Maybe if you're a big man and like you're oversized and you just back somebody down.
That's boring. But
that's the only thing I could think of that kind of compares to
who it. In that case, like who Zach Edey, like people like that, yeah. When they like miss all their shots, rebound all of them, and just put them back in.
Yeah, Wimby.
Man, Wimby's got other things, though. Zach Edey couldn't do anything else, remember?
Yeah. And wasn't he – that was the one that always hooked when he would turn, right?
Edey?
And it was clear, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? It was him. Yeah. I don't know if that
Olivier
was
Roo,
somebody else.
That's your future right there, buddy. You start doing that and you're good.
See, like that. That's the. There's not really too many comparisons for it, but that's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah, that's true. I'm a little nasally today. I've got a little bit of a head cold going on right now.
That's time of year. It's the snow that came out of nowhere.
I've had it pretty much the whole weekend. So, Personal story. I was supposed to go to Cleveland with my whatever. And she ended up coming down with a bit of a sinus infection as well. At least I thought. And then she had laryngitis.
Oh.
So. We had to cut that short and immediately turn around and head back here. It was pretty rough. Really rough on Friday morning. But she's all better now, so there's that. Also, more personal news for me. Sorry, guys. Starting a college degree, a graduate degree at the University of Alabama.
Mm-hmm. When I got that text, I was like, I knew that was the dream, and like, I couldn't be more proud of you.
Thank you. I'm not bringing it up for praise. I'm just saying.
No, you deserve it.
University of Alabama. I'm going to be starting a sports management master's over there. Good luck to me, I guess, on figuring that out. It's going to be a good time. Wyatt, any personal news on your end?
No, not really. Just
how about you're doing great? You're doing good on the article stuff.
Yeah, I mean it's just busy time of year. That's really all I have time for.
Extremely busy time of year for you.
Like it's a busy time.
Very busy right now.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of busy, how about Kentucky, Florida? That was your weekend this weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah. Great game. I was not expecting a blowout. I
did not at all. I thought we were winning. I predicted a win, but I thought it'd be like.
Yeah, I did too.
We can start with this. How about this? We get good football news. I loved the offense, by the way, in that game. Mm-hmm. I want to note that first of all.
Yeah.
Has Stoops said anything about, is Hamden just like unleashed? Is it something like that? Is Hamden just allowed to do what he wants?
Because I don't know.
If that's the case, and this is the offense, aside, like I said on the post game reaction, mm-hmm. aside from, hey man, why didn't you do this earlier? I think it's mainly to me like, well, good job. Good job on that. Because I think Bush Hamden is not as bad as we thought, if that's the case.
I think Cam and Stoops are both fighting for the job. It's kind of
No, Bush Hamden was done both. No matter what, I thought.
Yeah. But after Saturday, the creativity from that offense, I was not expecting that. And the two fourth down conversions on the first drive.
Yeah, how about that?
Who would have thought that from
aggressive
Stoops?
Football? How about us being aggressive on offense and the offense just looking fun for a change?
Yeah.
Cutter Bowley still looks just awesome. Talent wise, I'm gonna put this out there, and people are gonna hate it, but whatever. Talent wise, probably the best that Stoops has had in terms of pure raw talent and potential. Yeah. I think it's like higher than he's got a higher ceiling, I think, than Levis.
Yeah.
That might be crazy, but still.
Like, I mean, when you get a guy that was here and learning the offense and being around it, and then this year he finally gets his he wasn't gonna get his flowers until that cause.
We gotta talk about that in a minute, by the way. But we'll hold off on that.
But yeah, like when you get a guy that was so bad like he was, and then you're like, well, we got a freshman that was here last year. Why not? And what a great what a great gamble there.
Probably should have started earlier, right?
Yeah, for sure.
He should have started earlier. Calzada, a huge mistake on everyone's end. But you know what?
I think part of it is like the last few weeks they've been really trying to get the young guys involved, and I think Saturday it finally clicked for them. So maybe there's some real optimism to be bowl eligible now.
I was so happy for this group. I put it on, I tweeted it, but I mean, it's true. This team in general for me has just completely they're moving up that list of most lovable teams to me. Mm-hmm. As far as just how much I love what they do and love the players on the team. High on the list, aside from Zach Calzada. Mm-hmm. High on the list. For me, I ask you yours. Who's your top three most lovable teams that you've seen? Because we've seen, for me, last year or two of Joker Phillips, and then all of Mark Stoops, obviously, was the Kentucky football that I watched. What would be your favorites? So none of the Joker teams for me. So.
Probably 2018 for sure. And then maybe that 20. Was it the. Okay, what was the team with the big old line? Like the Kennard and Luke Fortner and all those guys were like. That was the big blue ball. Was that 21?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably my two favorites.
Mine, 2018. Because everybody on that team was awesome and just so lovable.
I might switch it to Lynn Bolden instead of the.
That's high on my list. I'll tell you who mine is, and this will never change. 2016. How about that team? Why do we forget about that team? Think of how important that team was for laying the groundwork of what the program became. We started the year losing to Southern Miss. And then somehow ended up 7-5, 7-6. And this team, doesn't this team feel a lot like that?
Yeah.
And the sense that they've gotten so much better over the year, especially the last three of the last four games. Texas, mm-hmm. I'll include, except on offense, I think, maybe not, but still.
Yeah, I remember before the season, before we made our predictions, I was like,
how about you?
Jeez, 2-6.
You need to start telling me what to gamble on.
But the reason I said that was partly because Cutter would take over. But that's kind of what has happened already. And
right.
it there's some similarity between that and what's happened on the field.
So yeah.
It's kind of wild. And
yeah, I can't believe that either. But this team is on the outside looking in of those two for me. There may be four now in terms of how much I look. Maybe five. I'm going to put 2021 and then 2019 back there too. 2019 was just
I'm going to be electric. Honest. Like this team is down the list for me.
Really?
Yeah, I think
it was frustrating.
I think
but
it's
not,
how it started. I think
maybe,
I think
but
that's
like,
part
of it. Has there been a team? Here's my point. Have we had a team start out other than 2016? Start out as bad as they did. They could have quit after Tennessee. Matter of fact, I completely expected them to quit after Tennessee. Texas, really? I said they were getting blown out and it was over. They could have quit. Instead, they get back up. You know, after getting punched in the mouth, they get back up. Coaching staff regroups. Mark Stoops has changed a little bit of what he's doing, and I do respect that. And they look a lot better now. They've gotten better. I know, first of all, Auburn and Florida are terrible. Shut up. Shut up. We didn't beat Auburn ever until now. I don't care. Last year we lost to Auburn at home and they sucked. Like, stop. Yeah. I don't care, you know? Like, Florida.
No, you're right. You're right.
Florida is down. Don't get me wrong. But beating Florida is awesome. We own Florida. Mark Stoops owns Florida. Still, and he's had the worst run of his life as a coach. And so I'm really happy for him. First of all, I know immediately I already got responses of, oh, what about when Stoops fired and all that? I take back none of what I said. I take 0% of it back. But if he's going to do this, and this is what he's going to be, if he's going to let Bush Hamden do what he wants on offense and keep doing this on defense and win, if we go 7-5, you're crazy not to bring him back, in my opinion. You'd have to bring him back. I said this before. I say this all the time. Then I'll let you ramble for 2 minutes. You set your own expectations, and fans set their own expectations, right? Fans will believe in those expectations. Mark Stoops set the expectation of winning 6 or 7 games this year. Fans expected 6 or 7 games this year from him. Please don't do the meme. And if he gets to that, if he gets bowl eligible or wins a bowl or goes 7-5 or somehow we go 8-5, I think you owe it to him. He did what you asked of him. I didn't think we'd be having this conversation. I've been as anti-Stoops as anyone, and I take back none of what I said in that moment. It was so true, and heck, it might still be true. We lose to Tennessee Tech this weekend. I'm out. Over. Done. I'm not really completely going to say I'm in yet. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I think a change has to happen for the program and that it's necessary, but I don't hate this version if this is what we're going to get.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way as you, but one of the things I was thinking about is like that I can't tell you how many times Stoops has had his back against the wall, and then he get this team fired up, and then they start out terrible, and then they end up making a bowl game just barely. And how many times has it hinged on the awful game? So, and
I can think of
one of my points was like it's getting to a point where. If you do bring him back and he does end up making a bowl, then the schedule's going to get harder and harder. And I think the best you could do is, especially with the schedule, it's going to be harder and harder to make a bowl. And I just think it could be time for a fresh face. But I'd be on the fence if he made a bowl, to be honest.
I wouldn't be able to sit here and act like he didn't earn it, though, is my point.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you couldn't either. Let's be honest here.
I think
we have been so out on him, but we couldn't even do that.
And my biggest thing with this team is like they could have quit, like you said. They could have quit, and he said a lot, like, this team won't do that. And he kept saying it. And we were like, okay. But now we're seeing that they're not gonna quit, and I mean they easily could have quit. I mean, that was a terrible
Tennessee game. I just thought
terrible. That was a terrible stretch, and then now you're kind of in a position.
You're 4-5. You're going to probably be 5-5.
That Auburn and Florida game couldn't have come at a better time. And I'm kind of in the boat with, in terms of the quality of games. Like, they were down. Both of them were down, but you still could have lost that game if your team quit.
Now here's how I think of Auburn. Auburn's 4-6 right now, right? Mm-hmm. So, before they played us, I guess, they had Oklahoma and Georgia beat both of them, mm-hmm. if not for refs. They have been hosed by refs all year, by the way. That's crazy, but they, have, sure. but they have.
Yeah, I've watched it happen.
So they were 4-4 when they played us. There's a world where they would like be 6-2 when we played them. Mm-hmm. They're not great, but they're not the worst team ever or anything like that. Like, that's my point. And at Auburn, always is hard to play at for us historically. That's the Fort Price said that's the fourth time we've ever beaten a team from Alabama crazy. At Alabama in the SEC of Auburn and Alabama.
And like I don't want to be the guy to discredit the wins. And like that.
No, because I know one guy on Twitter who does that a lot.
Yeah, there's, I see it everywhere. And like, you can't just discredit a win and like act like a team didn't have their backs against the wall and could have just gave up and they didn't. And the team deserves credit for that.
I think they do too. Let's go ahead and do score prediction for Tennessee Tech and then let's get into the fun stuff. Well, I mean, this was fun too. We beat Florida by 31. I mean,
so do you think if he does get ball eligible, do you think he should be back?
Yeah.
See,
I do.
I don't know what makes me on the fence about it, but I think
it depends on the fashion. To me, it depends on the fashion. If they beat Vanderbilt, I can't really tell you that he shouldn't. I mean, he would have earned it to me. You can't. Now, Mitch Barnhart should not do anything to that contract. If he wants to leave too, we shouldn't be throwing money at him to stay. It has to be over at that point. If he actually does want to go to Virginia Tech and they're still interested in him, you should let him walk.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think it does come down to him. If he does get bowl eligible.
That's what I think too,
If he's like, you know, I want to go, I gave him the last bowl. I've done a hell of a job here, and I think it's his time. But there's no reason you should.
But I also
think about firing.
Personally, I want Mark Stoops to be my coach. I just don't want this version of Mark Stoops. I want a Mark Stoops that's going to run offense. I want a Mark Stoops that's going to be motivated to be here, not even trying to play on the meme.
I'm just worried that we're going to be in the same position every year in the next few years.
The only thing that makes me concerned, and not the only thing, there's a lot of things that makes me concerned, and I'm in the boat with you too. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I would prefer a new coach. But I can't say that I wouldn't be in for him coming back next year if this was going to be what we got.
Yeah.
Now we'll find out against Tennessee Tech and Vandy if this is sustainable. Like if the offense changes against Vandy and we lose that game and Louisville and we lose that game and we just go back to running up the middle all the time, I'm out. But and I'm not yet, but
those aren't easy games and you're gonna have to rely on one of those wins.
You got to let Bush do his thing. Yeah. Kentucky-Tennessee Tech score prediction. I'm going to go Kentucky 48, Tennessee Tech 21.
Something is in the water with that offense. So I think it'll be high scoring again.
I weirdly think we're scoring points, yeah.
What is weird to me? I know
they're 10-0, but like,
I was about to bring that up. I said, what is weird to me is that a team like that is undefeated. So.
But like. You know what I mean?
I guess they're the best of the lessers, I guess you could say.
Yeah. I say that's a point. What do you got?
I'd say 37-9. I'll give them 3 field goals.
37-9?
Yeah.
We do kick a lot of field goals, so I could see it. But anyway, I'm going to go MVP. Excuse me. Oh, MVP. I'm going to go ahead and give it to let's go J.J. Hester. How about him? Unveiling himself lately. Dude, he's been so good.
Wild catches.
Him and Cam Miller, man. I love both of them and DJ, but still. Who you got?
Yeah, I think mine is Cam. He's getting more comfortable in the offense. I know you already picked the wide receiver,
if we had a team, regardless who the coach is, I am so in for this offense, like that core to be back.
Yeah.
And then a new running back. Yeah. And heck, maybe even running back, he's give Jason Patterson the wall. I mean, Jason Patterson's a really good running back. So I'd say next year, if you want to give him the starting role, give him the starting role, you know? Yeah. I've heard a lot of good things about him too out of practices, by the way.
And it's wild that like now it's the young guys that have you in the position you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what you would have thought? It was the transfers you brought in that you spent a lot of money on. But
again, double-edged sword to me. A, why were we not trying this earlier?
Mm-hmm.
And B, good job. Good job. You developed them. They're producing for you. Good job. So anyway, let's get to the fun stuff, basketball. That's what we're here for. We want to talk about Cam and Christian Collins. We got games to talk about, don't we?
We can talk.
Let's talk games and let's talk Christian Collins. Mm-hmm. Kentucky-Louisville Tuesday. First of all, let's talk about Valpo. I'm not even going to talk about Nichols. That game happened a while ago
and
on the unheard version of our podcast because for some reason our MP3 got corrupted. And so that went away, but so I'm sorry about that. That's why it wasn't up. Anyway, so Valpo, I thought that game was really, really good for Kentucky. It's a very good, very good tune-up game for the offense. And I don't know. I mean, like, that's a great way to get going into a big game like this, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the biggest talking point out of it is probably the gap defense. And that, I mean, Georgetown absolutely torched us on the gap defense and athletic guys getting in the rim. That's exactly what you're going to face. Valpo had it, but not as, like, the players weren't as talented. But you're going to face that talent tomorrow with Louisville.
Yeah, I agree. I like the fact that we had to play a team that ran the tempo that Valpo runs early.
Yeah.
I know that's beating a dead horse. I think everybody said that, but it is true. I mean, sometimes the best answer is the most obvious one. And I think that was very beneficial for Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Colin Chandler, for me, he's becoming our star. I think he's going to be our star. Sometimes, you know, you just got these guys 2-3 games in. You can tell, right? You could just tell. We were that way with Owe last year. I think we're that way. I think we're getting there with Chandler. He's going to be really good for us.
Sure.
We're there.
For
his
sure.
shooting is good now. That's scary. And like, his shot looks great. His jumper looks great. And he's already good at the rim. And a great defender.
He's becoming more consistent at the three. And the pairing that with his athleticism is just like
deadly.
Unbelievable.
That's lethal. Malachi Marino. I mean, he wasn't great against Nichols necessarily. I mean, he wasn't bad against them, but the free throw shooting was not good. That's going to be a problem all year with him, I think. But I thought he was awesome off the pick and roll. If we get that pick and pop consistent with him, like in the Purdue and Nichols State game, the Purdue and Nichols State game, then I think he's gonna be a problem too. I mean, Brandon Garrison really needs to watch out for Malachi Marino.
I would say tomorrow wins more of a BG game because you're gonna need that toughness, and he was tough last year. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Marino have a
take the over on Brandon Garrison minutes. Fights, by the way. Whatever the line is for that, they're happening.
Exactly.
Him and Kayshawn Pryor are absolutely, and I'm saying this right now to the camera, Brandon Garrison and Kayshawn Pryor will try to kill each other tomorrow. They're going to beat the crap out of each other at some point. And it's going to be wild.
They need somebody to step up and fight them. And I think that's BG.
We've got toughness on this group, though. I'm not worried about that.
You go down the line. It's BG. It's BG.
So let's just preview Louisville. Let's preview Louisville. Who wants to talk about Valpo when we play Louisville on Tuesday? When we play Louisville in 24 hours. Sorry, Valpo. Bryce Drew made a really good shot for you 30 years ago. Anyway. So what you got on Louisville for me, buddy?
The shooting is a little over-talked about. And I think a lot of the sentiments people are trying to spew that they're trying to say is they're just looking at their 3-point volume and say, oh, the whole team is full shooters. But they don't realize a good chunk of that volume is coming from Ryan Conwell and Isaac McNeely. Like, that is their shooters. You have to run them off the three, and you have to make sure, because Mikel Brown, he's gonna drive, and he'll look to kick it out to him. And I know that help defense is important, but you can't leave those two guys on the perimeter too much. So I think that's the biggest key defensively.
Well, there you go. For Kentucky, how are they going to match up best with Louisville?
You got to push the pace. I think that both teams like to do that. But and it's going to be interesting because Kentucky has a top three defense. Louisville has a top three offense.
See, that's what I was going to say. Something's got to give. What's going to help us in games like this all year, but also on Tuesday, I think, is the fact that we are physical now. Yeah. We have a really physical basketball team, and also our length compared to their length. I know, pause, but like how tall our team is, like I think that's going to
benefit us. There's no pause when it comes to basketball talk. There's no pause when it comes to basketball.
I think there
talk.
Is when it's you all, say it's our all fair game. It's all fair game. You're comparing length, yeah.
No, unless it's Chris Collinsworth, it's all fair game.
Tony Romo, what about that weird noise he made at the end of the? You know what I'm talking about? What was?
Yeah,
that? I've never even done that, and I'm not great at it. I'm not terrible, but like whatever.
You always have the oh Jim, but he.
Really I don't know, Jim. I don't know.
He turned it in the high gear. But I do think tomorrow it's going to be one of those where, I mean, people don't realize. They're focused too much on Louisville's three-point volume. And I think Brandon Ramsey also made this point, mm-hmm. like I said earlier, about only two shooters really carry them in the volume department, and they're talented. But they only shoot at like 32%, I think. So all that volume, and you're only hitting like 10 or like 11, 12 maybe.
Right.
So, and I think – people have to remember that they are one of the top 2-point percentage teams.
It's true.
On offense and defense. So, offensively, the biggest key is to shoot. And Pope has preached volume, and we're going to have to knock them down. Because that and going fast, you're going to have to keep up with them somehow. So.
Yep. No, I agree. Another thing for me. Starting lineup, Lowe will probably be in there now, I would assume. Mm-hmm. Owe, Chandler, Diabate, Garrison, hear me out. We're putting Chandler on Mikael Brown.
Yeah, I mean, that's your best option.
That's you by far. Lowe, Colin Chandler, I mean, I think he's – Why does it feel like no one talks about this? But he's like our second best defender.
He
locks down people. I mean,
that's why. Like he is the best. Like last year, we always said he was the best at doing the little things, and then now he has the big things to go with the little things, and the little things was defense.
Like yeah, exactly.
He's scrappy, and as long as you stay in front of Mikael, because I think the biggest thing, he has one of the highest assist rates in the country.
Yeah.
Mikael. So you're going to have to stay in between him and the basket, and the guys can't leave the perimeter. Like you're going to have help, but that I think that's for the big man. Cuz you can't leave McNeely and Conley open cuz they're dead.
No. But for me too, Colin Chandler might we've got athletes on this team. Colin Chandler is probably
he's still one of the most athletic on the team, I think.
I think he's the, other than Quaintance. I think he matches up better with Brown because of how athletic he is. He's the closest to Brown in terms of athleticism.
I think it goes Chandler.
They're not far off Quaintance, either.
Alway. Chandler, Quaintance, Alway is probably and Modi.
Aberdeen might be higher than you think, too, though. Mm-hmm. Aberdeen's pretty athletic.
I think it takes a lot for a big man to do what Quaintance and
I'm not disagreeing with you on the Quaintance thing. Quaintance is number one when he's back. Quaintance is number one when he's back.
I think that probably plays a factor into my thoughts there.
Clayton's or Chandler. It's one of those two. I mean,
it's two big men that can pass and dribble and have the handles that they do and are able to create on offense.
And we're getting him back soon. We're getting him back in like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
2 to 3 weeks. Cannot wait.
Getting closer.
We're there. I mean, we're almost there, guys. Yeah. Man, he's going to be fun. Yeah. He's going to get a huge pop, by the way, when that happens.
What I heard was around the St. John's game, but it looks like it might be even
North Carolina's like
two weeks earlier.
Yeah. That's 3 weeks from now.
I mean, wow. It's literally shifted from a month.
That's insane to me. Yeah, it's nuts. But yeah, so like Chandler, I think matches him so well in athleticism, and I think, you know, I think that is our best option in terms of that, in terms of who we're going to put on him. Who else do you think will be like big time for Kentucky in this game other than Colin Chandler?
Oh, I'm telling you, all the talk is on the guards for good reason.
Mm-hmm.
But Connie Roots is leading the team in scoring with 18, I think. That's something that like BG's gonna have to, he's gonna have to step up, or it's gonna be Marino time, because he's actually done pretty good. BG has now defensively, he's gonna have to be a factor down there.
I don't think he's been particularly terrible on defense so far, though, even in the exhibitions.
I mean, it could be a long day. It could just be the, you know, there's only two games to spare, so
right.
Maybe Roots isn't as good as we think, but he's still a force down there.
What does this game to you mean, though, in the long term?
What you cut out?
Okay, sorry. What does this game mean to you in the long term for this team? Do you take anything away from it?
If you didn't have Georgetown, I would say no, but I think you've had Georgetown. You know what to work on. You've already had tests against Purdue and them. You know you struggle against on gap defense and that, and it's going to be huge in this one. So I think you do. I think you've got to take a lot from it.
First of all, this game ever gets played again in November this early, someone, please don't do that again. Please, no. This does not need to be played this early.
Like everyone can handle Kentucky, Michigan State. Like the Champions Classic's fine, but
that's Louisville game, I'm okay with that. But this Louisville game is off limits to me for that. I hate that this is being played so early because I feel like neither team is at their close to their peak yet. And yeah, the fun part of this game is always that the teams are pretty close to what they are.
So, I don't know, man. I think Louisville having 200 plus scoring games is pretty good. I don't think they.
But they haven't played us, and we haven't played them. To be fair, we scored 107 the other night, but
we're not scoring
100. Neither of us are. Now we might both score 100, or they might score 100 or something.
They are the third best defense in the offense in the country. I don't think that holds. I think they can be back in top 10. I don't think that offense can hold.
I think they're good. Don't get me wrong. I think they're really good this year. I think we're better. No,
they're good right now. For sure.
I think we're winning. Of course, I'm not going to pick Louisville. Why would I pick Louisville to beat Kentucky? But like, this doesn't need to be played in November again. I do, though, on the flip side, and this is not about Louisville. This game should never be played in November. Can't say that enough. I do like that we're playing a true road game early.
Yeah.
We usually, and this is what has me shaky on this game, usually we suck in our first road game. Last year, we were horrible on the road all year. We were horrible. We couldn't beat anybody on the road, it felt like, for a time. Who did we beat on the road? I know we beat Tennessee eventually. I mean, we got going, but, like, thank our first few road games. It was a disaster.
Yeah, Georgia. So I think Georgia is the biggest one for me.
Georgia and Clemson.
That was last rough.
Georgia was tough to watch.
Speaking of Georgia, they're going to be good.
Like, I believe in them too. I take back everything I said. I said that they weren't going to be good. They look solid. Mississippi State right now is in a dogfight with Iowa State, too. I mean, they look good. Yeah, I've got that on instead of the Monday Night Football because I will never watch the Green Bay Packers versus Philadelphia Eagles. I will not put myself in that. The two most boring teams in football, I will not be watching play each other. No, I'm not apologizing for that either. I mean, it's true. Jordan Love.
I understand the Eagles.
I would like to watch paint dry instead of watching Jordan Love play quarterback.
I'm sorry we don't have our two best go-to receivers.
I mean, wouldn't want to watch it if you did.
This is Mike. I looked up all ago and
how's Jared Goff doing?
The Eagles were already on.
Jared Goff, how's he doing?
Oh, he's filling in. He's filling in all right.
Shout out, round of shots.
Needs a makeover. There's some scragglies, but I looked up all ago and the Eagles were
a terrible bit.
The Eagles were down. Already past midfield, and I was like, in my head, I was like, that's exactly what this game is going to be. I told you I didn't have a good feel.
You're overhyping it. How about the Giants firing Brian Daboll?
I thought that was going to come when Daniel Jones was there. Actually,
last year I thought they'd fire him, but whatever. Yeah. But I don't think they should have done it now, though. I actually like him.
He's played on the good side.
I think you shouldn't do that to your rookie quarterback in the middle of the season, but whatever. That's just me. So, either way, get back on topic here. I'm glad that we're playing the true road game. That's what has me feeling weird about this game, but I do acknowledge we can win. We should win, in my opinion. Now, if we don't, it's not the end of the world to me. Other than the being really mad for about 3 days because you can't lose to Louisville, but like, but again, I go back to this every time though, and this is why I feel weirdly confident. Mark Pope, when his back is against the wall, when he knows he has to win a game, his teams usually win the game.
Yeah.
Last year, I can't think of a game that they had to win where he just didn't win it. Alabama and the SEC tournament.
He broke a record for the most wins against top 25 teams.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly. Like, and we went to Tennessee and beat Tennessee last year with a way worse roster.
Mm-hmm.
No disrespect to any of them because they are awesome, but like at the same time, like the talent on this team is just undeniably better.
Yeah, yeah. And I would, in terms of this game one, I respect it being at 3.5. I understand. Wolves offense is kind of wild right now, but Kentucky's defense I think deserves more respect.
And like last year with Duke, like I said on the show before Duke, Mark Pope. If you think Mark Pope has not been thinking about this game for 6 months, you're crazy.
Yeah,
you're crazy. He was thinking about this game as soon as it was scheduled this early. Game of the year.
I'll tell you when he really thought about it was when they were at Tay Kenny's house.
Exactly.
he had to go out that place.
Oh, yeah, man, that's true.
I want to kick his ass.
I forgot about that. oh, that's going to be so awkward. It's going to be so awkward, isn't it? That handshake before the game.
I love how this relationship between them two is going from, yeah, man, nice to see
you. He's cool to, like, they hate each other.
Now it's starting to set in for both of them.
Yeah, like.
Love it.
And neither of them got him is what makes that story funnier. Neither of them got Tate Kenny. But, again, when he thinks he has to win a game.
You're joking, but that's when the Kansas buzz started after that.
Yeah, and I have always kind of thought that that's played a part, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Now that and him being signed to freaking Adidas, but you know, probably it definitely had to drive him away from Louisville, though. It had to.
I think it did.
But no, yeah, like again, like Duke last year, he's had this game circled for a long time. I said last year with Duke that as soon as he accepted the job, he circled that game knowing, my God, I have to win this game or else they're going to kill me.
Yeah. And you know what feels weird about this one? Louisville's finally good again.
Exactly, they're good again.
That's what feels weird. And
I hate that they're good.
They are so desperate for a win.
I hate that they're good, but I do acknowledge how much better the rivalry is because they're good, finally.
Yeah.
Welcome to the party, I guess, but still.
Well, they are. That offense is scary good. Mecal Brown is like, again, like he, that's what he looks for, is Conwell, and I know I'm going back to the scouting report, but that's all I can think about.
But me too.
Go back to his shooters. You gotta take them off the three.
Absolutely. Let's go to our comments. Again, reminder, chat is open on Twitter and Facebook and just in general on Riverside if you want to watch the difficult way. And yeah, we got a Riverside comment. All right. So Brandon says, Mecal Brown will be the best player on the team on the court tomorrow. Sorry. Mecal Brown will be the best player on the court tomorrow. I think he's referring to in between both teams. Probably. Good chance. That's not a terrible take.
That's the thing, like you said. But Colin on him, see what he can do. That's the best. But that, Colin exactly. But Colin, the day he spoke with the media, and he did say that they're probably gonna throw different looks at him. So we'll see who is the best.
Yeah, but again, you're not
tough.
But you aren't playing 5v1 though. We do have to worry about everybody else too. I almost wonder if we're gonna do like we did against Duke last year, where it's going to be, all right, cool.
Got to figure out I think it comes down to that one where he was like, Cooper Flagg's going to spin.
And then that's when he turns over. There's a chance of something like that.
I wonder what his weakness is. I wonder what his, because I haven't watched him enough to kind of dig into the weaknesses. So, but
he's really good at getting to the basket, I will say that.
Yeah. That's why I'm like, they have to get that help defense on. And that's why I'm glad that Georgetown game happened. Now that they look back on it. And hopefully we'll be like, thank God we played that. Because if we didn't, we would have got burned.
I think we will. And also, they look like they might be good. Yeah. They beat Maryland at Maryland by like 20 the other night something.
I actually picked them up. I think it was +7.5. I picked them +7.5.
Yeah, that was a good bet. That was a really good bet.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at college basketball, believe it or not.
All right, let's go one more. Or not, we got like two or three more here. Jonathan says, I'm taking the Cats tomorrow. Louisville ain't got nothing on these kitty cats. Okay, that's really indefinite now. I'm just kidding. That's a great point. That's an awesome point, Jonathan. We all need to be like Jonathan, right? We need to be Louisville. Like, Louisville's not beating us. I mean, we own them, right? You agree with me on that? When was the last time they did beat us? When was the last time they beat us? Even the years when they were good, they couldn't beat us.
I got a nice stat for you. Let me go find it.
When they were good, they couldn't even beat us. Think about that. When Rick Pitino was there, they beat us twice when we had Cal. Think about that. Like, their best years, they can't. They won the. I mean, they beat us the year they won the title, but. We beat them twice the next year.
I don't know when I wrote about it, but...
with the same roster that they had. You get my point here. That your little brother, like, dude. What are we looking for, man?
I don't know. It's going to take me a minute. You go ahead.
All right, I'll keep going. All right, so let me get your opinion on this last one, then. Excuse me. Matthew is our last one. It says, hang on, I lost it again. My gosh.
Okay. Yeah. Right. I don't know where I put this.
Matthew says, Matthew says, you guys are forgetting just how important Jalen Lowe is to this team. Jalen Lowe will be our MVP tomorrow. I am not forgetting at all, but like, I don't.
Yeah.
He might be our MVP, but I'm telling you, athleticism.
He's obviously the most important player for the offense purposes, but I don't think he would be the MVP.
I
think it's more so of a guy that can shoot, because we're going to have to shoot a lot and make them. So it's going to
happen tomorrow is that our shooters will not be as condensed as they've been before him. Mm-hmm. We're going to get looks for our shooters for the first time all year. Trent Noah might be open finally. Cam Williams, man, I hope he starts hitting them. That's all I can say about that. I sure hope he starts hitting them. We need him bad. We need him really bad. And
Kentucky, Louisville has beaten Kentucky just three times since John Calipari's first season. I think the last one came in 2019.
Three times. Yeah, or Chris Mack beat him one time, didn't he?
Yeah.
2020, yeah. The COVID year.
Yeah.
That doesn't even count. Like, that doesn't even, that barely counts. Like,
three times since 2009.
As awful as we both were that year, should we even count that?
No. I mean, I guess technically. I'd count it, but it's kind of funny to say this, but out of pity. Because, I mean, why not? I mean, it happened. And well, why do we care? We have a lot more wins than they do. I'm about to think of the number off the top of my head.
Well, say let's do score predictions, MVP. Let's get this thing off the road. I think we're there. Wyatt, who's winning and who's your MVP?
It's going to have to be high scoring. Cats are going to have to push the pace. We're going to have to make some shots.
What are you doing?
I don't know. I would say 87, 82 Cats.
So you got a high scoring close one.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 79-71 Kentucky. Ooh. My MVP of the game is going to be Colin Chandler because I'm going to stick behind it and double down. I think he's going to score. I think he's going to be our best defender. He won't. I mean, you're not going to keep Mikael Brown from scoring any points, but he can probably contain him. What about you? Who's MVP?
Trent Noah. You're going to have to make some shots, and he's one of the most reliable shooters you have.
There you go.
That's, I mean, literally, he's going to have to. You don't have much reliable shooters on this team right now, at least.
No,
and I
agree.
Think that's clear. So you're going to have to have him shoot well.
That's true. Real quick before we go, do we want to do this? Yeah, let's do it. Inquiries for sponsors. If you want a sponsor, if you want to do anything like that, message Breaking Blue Pod at Breaking Blue Pod on X, or get on Facebook and message the Breaking Blue Kentucky Podcast, and we'll talk. Have people reach out to me privately. Don't reach out to me privately. And I mean, we're also like, you know, we'll have to talk a little more formally than that. So anyway, there you have it. Kentucky, Louisville, go do the thing, Mark. Go do the thing. Beat these people. Kentucky basketball is back. It's been back. I mean, we were back last year, I think. But Kentucky basketball.
This rivalry's back.
This rivalry is back. Kentucky is also going to be back to dominating the great Louisville teams.
Can Louisville win the first game of it being back? After all the years they've said that don't matter.
No, they cannot.
And now it's back.
They will not be able to.
We'll see.
You're going to have to wait a couple more years because you're not beating us at Rupp next year. So this is your best chance. This is your best chance. So take your best swing, Joe Frazier. All right. We'll see you guys next week. Stay sober. Go Big Blue. We'll see you soon. Hey, everyone. This is Nolan Fleming from the Breaking Blue Podcast. Today we're going to talk about the Kentucky-Louisville game, but we would be remiss not to mention the tragic events that happened in Louisville, Kentucky this past week. A very tragic day for the city and for the state as a general. It's easy to forget when we get wrapped up in this rivalry, but we are all Kentuckians at the end of the day, and so our prayers are with our fellow Kentuckians in Louisville, especially with the 14 people with their families. Who've all been impacted by this, and with the families of or residents in the area that had to be evacuated from the tragic accident in Louisville. Our prayers go out to everybody, and we're praying for the city of Louisville.